N4DJC.
DJC, KD2VNG. Hope you're not outside, man. You'd have caught fire by now. Huh?
KJ, this is N4DJC.
DJC, this is KD2VNG. How you been? I was just saying, I hope you're not outside. You'd be caught on fire by now.
We're heading out just a little bit to maybe put a little water on some side. That's about it for today, though. It's been pretty tough out there today.
The thermometer in the car says 93, although I'm parked in the shade. Yeah, with the humidity and everything, it's probably well over 100. I'm waiting for it to cool off. I don't know if it will. But, yeah, it's getting up there. And if you have no central air conditioning, it's kind of, it gets to be unpleasant.
Well, thankfully I've got two units. I've got an upstairs and a downstairs unit. So we keep it, we don't keep it real cool, but it works for us pretty well. Yes, I don't know what the heat index is, but it's pretty tough. They were landscaping, working on a yard, new house next door to us today. Been outside, kind of seeing what they're doing. And also, we put some sod down a few weeks ago. We still have to water it every once in a while, but kind of keep an eye on it. Don't want to give it too much water because it just, it'll make you go dormant if you put too much water on Bermuda, so we're putting about an inch a week on it, maybe something like that.
Don't exert yourself too hard. You know, especially older people like us, we don't do well in the heat. If you get symptoms of heat stroke or heat exhaustion, stop whatever you're doing. And sometimes heat stroke is hard to diagnose. Because you don't necessarily feel it coming on. And curiously enough, it could also sometimes feel like you're getting the chills. So if it's hot out and you feel chilly, you know, stop whatever you're doing. Go inside and cool off and hydrate. Because it's an insidious thing. I've had heat stroke before. And, you know, it's potentially fatal if you're not careful.
If you stop sweating, that's the only time to start worrying about it. We don't stay out more than about 15 or 20 minutes at a time, maybe. And we stay well hydrated. We don't get out more than a few minutes. But it was really, we had to get in Walmart about a couple hours ago. And it was miserable walking back up from the store, to work to the car. It's like you walked across a giant frying pan.
Another symptom I forgot. If you stop sweating, then you got a problem. Yeah, from the parking lot to Walmart and back, that's about all I'd walk right about now. See, even the cats are all lying down. They're not stupid. They go in the shade and they all, the cats and dogs don't even want to be around it. Up and about.
You can add in it all day, but they take breaks and get into shape. But they're also pretty well accustomed to it too. They got the big hats on and they drink plenty of water. But the guy's been out there on the track motor. He's been busy all day. He was still working out there a few minutes ago. But they do that stuff for a living. They know their limits, I'm sure.
I'm in the only place that has air conditioning right now. I'm sitting in the car in the driveway because the window unit air conditioners in the house are almost completely useless. I don't want to burn too much fuel, so, you know, but the only air conditioning I got left is come out here for 10 minutes or so.
How we got along without it? 60 years ago, we didn't have any air conditioning, except maybe movie theaters. I know my high school was not air conditioned, and we didn't get air conditioner in our. I don't think we got air conditioner in our, even a window unit in our house, till sometime around 69 or 70, maybe.
You know, in the south especially, years ago when my parents would first vacation in the Florida area, like in the, oh, in the 50s or so, Florida would actually close much of the year, because this time of year, you can't really keep, you can't, without central AC, you can't keep it open, can't keep, okay, talk properly, can't keep the hotels and resorts open, and, you know, a lot of places were like that. I don't remember growing up in New York if we had air conditioning or not. We might not have. My parents had the one window air conditioner in their bedroom. But let's see. I don't know. I don't recall if my elementary school had it or not either. I guess you just open the windows and sweat a lot.
Quite well. In New York, it might have been. It wasn't quite as hot down here. Back in the early 60s, I don't know if it was, it didn't bother us as much. We were accustomed to it, but the other thing is we didn't have as much, you know, the roads weren't paved as much as they were now. You didn't have the big expanses of buildings and asphalt. All that makes cities a lot hotter, and living in the, even though it's a small town south, it's not rural south, it's just it didn't get quite as hot as it did. I kind of like Columbia. Columbia is almost always the hottest place in the state. It's just invariably. And I'm sure it's because all the concrete and stuff down there, the interstates all connect there. But I didn't notice it as much. We, you know, we usually had, you know, ceiling fans and back in the 40s in the South, too, they were elevated off the ground about 3 or 4 feet, you know, instead of having a crawl space, they would just open underneath, and that allowed a lot of, you know, allowed a lot of breeze to ventilation to get in that way too. But if you'll notice, almost all the homes, especially when you head down past middle part of Georgia, you'll see a lot of older homes there. They're just up on, they're like that, but just on pillars and foundations, didn't have anything. Maybe they might put some lattice work around them, maybe to decorate them, but early on, they didn't have anything up, you know, didn't have anything covering them up.
You know, I guess that gets you airflow. Yeah, let's see, the older style construction, though, where you had an attic. See, I'm in a mobile home. Mobile homes, in a way, I guess, are probably the worst. Maybe because they're not insulated properly. You know, the attic above the living space in the summer is not too good either, unless it's ventilated. Maybe we were hotter back then during the summer. We just didn't complain about it. I mean, I grew up in New York City, so it would have been... But you know what? New York has the moderating effect of being on the ocean. That's why it never gets that hot in the summer. It never gets that cold in the winter. You've got ocean breezes coming in from somewhere pretty much all the time.
Florida, the coast of Florida aren't bad at all, especially the East Coast. You got that breeze coming through all the time. But now the central part of Florida, it's just tough when you head into Orlando and central parts of Florida. It gets a lot, it seems like a lot hotter. But we usually spent 10 days in either Daytona or Ormond Beach back in the 50s, and I never remember it being terribly hot down then. I don't think they had, they might have had air conditioners then, but I don't recall. But, you know, a lot of it wasn't refrigerated. It was just, you know, these swamp coolers instead of refrigeration, you know, evaporator type coolers. And I don't remember seeing anything in the way of real refrigeration. But I think the attic, you know, you're talking about, I think an attic actually, even though it is hot air, it does add some insulation property, you know, just some distance between you and the heat. And I think that's one of the things that really hurts people with mobile homes, or, you know, even homes with flat roofs, or, you know, homes that don't have high-pitched roofs. I think it hurts with the heat there, too. And, of course, you put a tin roof under, it reflects it some, but, you know, there's no insulation there to mount anything.
Mobile homes, it seems, are the worst, I think, as I said. It's the, you know, the complete lack of insulation. And Actually, even if I were out here without the air conditioning, I mean, just standing out here would probably be not as hot as inside. I think I'm hotter inside than outside right now. But, yeah, so I just came out here to cool off. Although not to burn too much fuel here. Right now the engine's off, but still, it's either, you know, if you use gasoline or electricity, one way or the other, it's going to cost.
Yeah, gas certainly isn't getting any cheaper. Where's finally headed. I don't expect to see it. I think it'll probably be $6 here at some point. I'm not sure when. It may be a month or so out. We still got a way to go, but... it's not going to get, it may get a lot worse, but I'm just concerned they may get like it was back in the early 80s sort of thing when they start trying to apply price controls. You know, that's the next thing on the list is restrict the amount of gas you can buy at a time, that sort of thing, which is, that just makes it worse.
What I'm doing right now actually isn't all that expensive because... it's one of those hybrid drive trains, so the high voltage battery is actually working the AC compressor. So it cycles the internal combustion engine on and off as it needs to charge. Otherwise, I'd be wasting a lot more fuel. Maybe that's probably why it's a good thing I have this type of vehicle now. I used to get probably close to 50 miles a gallon with these. Yeah, over 50 miles a gallon with these cars. And it actually worked well in a place like, the New York City area, where you go forward 10 or 20 feet, then you stop. Go forward another 10 or 20 feet, and then you stop, because you're stuck in traffic. Well, that works well, because then, it moves forward, then the engine shuts off. Or sometimes doesn't even need, just moves forward on battery power. So this actually worked very well when I lived in the New York City area. But, you'll see fuel prices stabilize. There's too many things out of whack. You have pent-up demand due to pent-up post-pandemic demand for things. So that led to inflation. You had workforce problems, hiring problems. You've got that war in Ukraine, and also as a result of that, you've got sanctions against Russia. Sanctions are like a double-barrel shotgun with one barrel pointing back at you. So there's a lot of things that are causing dislocation in the economy that's causing prices to go up right now. And you can't just point to this or that or the other thing. And I can't say this political party or that one is doing it. So, but eventually things got to renormalize.
Something will happen one way or the other. They'll either eat it great or somehow or another. It raised 75 basis points today, which I helped. I should have done it several months ago, but pouring all that money in the economy definitely didn't help any. And there are a lot of factors, but yeah, this nation still runs on oil. And if there's a problem with either the refineries or anything like that, or if they have a breakdown somewhere, or have a refinery shut down, or anything like that, it just creates stuff. It just ripples throughout the economy. And so we still run on oil. Of course, they won't let them build nuclear power plants, which is, that's probably the cheapest and most efficient way to do it. They won't let them build those. So it's a double-edged sword. One side wants one thing, one side wants the other thing, and the practical side to it is do all of it. I think a hybrid makes better sense than a plug-in does. Plug-ins just don't have, even when it's this hot or when it's real cold, they just don't have enough range for most people. If you drive in the city, it's fine, but man, I tell you one thing, when it gets over 100 degrees, they struggle at both ends of the spectrum.
hybrid drivetrain is a good engineering compromise. And there was a Chevy Volt, not the Bolt with a B, there was a Chevy Volt about 10 years ago, which was basically an electric vehicle with a backup generator. So you can go 50 to 60 miles on battery power, and then you can recharge while you were driving. So it was sort of, but not quite, a hybrid. I don't know. We could transition off of internal combustion faster than you might think. I think by 2030, Detroit wants to build only half their cars as internal combustion engines, and by 2040 or so, probably none of them. And when you think about it, it's a whole lot easier to build charging stations than it is to build refueling stations for gasoline or propane or diesel or whatever, because all I need is electricity. You know, any building you build bigger than an outhouse is wired for electricity. So recharging stations are going to start popping up everywhere. A lot, you know, much, much, much faster than filling stations ever could. Plus, I think there was Renault had the idea to do a battery change station. You know, you drive the car over this pit in the ground, this hydraulic arm reaches up, grabs the battery, takes it out, puts in a fresh battery. So, you may see the electric infrastructure build out faster than you think.
See that too, their earlier cars, you could drop the battery and replace it. Yeah, they would come out and do it actually for you. But that was, but again, that's $125,000 car too. It's not something there for the masses. But it may happen, I don't know. They're going to have to get the electricity from somewhere. And if they don't build out the grid, they're not going to do a lot of good. Also, with a Tesla, when you plug in a Tesla, that, the free stuff is done. You know, they charge, I forget how much it is now. I got a friend that's got an S, and I forget how much he told me they charged. I mean, it's still cheaper than running, you know, gas, say, at 25, 26 miles to the gallon, but it was $14 or $15, and they could only drive, I think he said he was only driving in the heat. He's only able to get about 175 miles out of it in the heat running the air conditioner. And this was in the last, it's been the last 3 weeks. He was heading down from Memphis to somewhere in Texas, I think, and he's had a hard time finding, you know, they had to find charging stations pretty often to recharge it, which surprised me. I thought it should have had a longer range than that, but then again, it's a plug-in. It's not the same thing as a hybrid. I think the real cure is a hydrogen vehicle, but, you know, they're just not going, you know, the California's got them, but, you know, I don't think the car business wants to deal with having those tanks that have to have it. The pressure on them is like, it's got to be able to hold like 10,000 PSI or something like that.
Hydrogen isn't really a fuel in the usual sense of the word. What hydrogen is an energy storage system, because you have to break the hydrogen molecule out of fossil fuels or out of water. You have to put energy in to do that. So it's a way of, it's basically a way of storing electricity for later. You know, you store it as compressed hydrogen, or in the form of like hydrogen hydride or something. And later on, when you have no power from other sources, you know, you get your fuel cells online. Pump the hydrogen gas into the fuel cells. So hydrogen is neither here nor there. And filling stations for hydrogen, you know, I don't think that's so much the solution to anything. But, you know, the hybrid gasoline electric approach, or there's also plug-in hybrids, you know. You can still plug in at night to recharge your primary battery, you know, for whatever that's worth. Actually, the 2010 and later maybe, had the Toyota Prius. The 2010 and 2012 and later had the charging ports. And there was actually a switch on the dashboard where, if you wanted to, you could actually just switch to all electric mode. You couldn't go far. You could go maybe 20, 25 miles, and then it forces it back into hybrid mode. Or hopefully by that you've already, you know, you're already done driving. See, not like out here in the city, most in and near cities, people drive at most 50 miles a day. Come to work, go home, do your shopping, go home. That's why that Chevy Volt had that 50 or 60 mile range, the battery generator. So, yeah, engineering-wise, it's a good compromise.
Many charging stations right now that I know of, not in the area, not many. I think a couple of the hotels have them in there, and maybe a couple of there and there. And, a friend of mine's got this. He got his own charging station, but it was quite expensive to put it in his house. I didn't put it in his garage. So I said he could afford it. And if you can afford a $120,000 automobile, you can afford a charging station, too. But, yeah, it's one of those things they'll have to work it out because they got a long way to go yet, I think. I mean, the concept is good. But to be able to travel long distances, you know, that's gonna be an issue, and it's gonna have to, they're gonna have to do a lot of work there because there's a lot of, you're talking about a lot of electricity that's gonna have to be generated, and it's gonna have to come from somewhere. The current sources won't supply it, I don't think, unless they get a lot more efficient in batteries, and I don't see that happening in the near future. But yeah, it could happen eventually. But, yeah, I think a gas hybrid is probably the best way to go. I mean, my gas, I average around 42 miles a gallon now, so it's not a gas guzzler or anything like that. I went to Florida a few weeks ago, I averaged around, I think I got 45 going down there and 42 coming back, something like that, with air conditioning on.
Charging station situation, if you wanted to, you could resolve that quickly enough because you can put a charging station anywhere there's power. And I don't know what would be so complicated about it that it costs that much. It's a, a 240-volt outlet with some weird plug on it that plugs into your particular car. I don't know if there's a standard. There might be three or four of them. Nissan has one, and Tesla has a different one, and GM and Ford probably have some other one. But I don't know why that should be so very complicated or so very expensive. It'll get cheaper. You know, it has to. And as I said, it still has to be much, much, much faster to build out that than it would be to put, gasoline holding tanks. And what does it cost now to build a filling station? Holding tanks for propane or gasoline or diesel or kerosene or some damn thing, and, you know, plus the pumps. So the build-out will come. To the point where you'll see them pretty much on every street. And hey, nothing to say you can't put a credit card reader or a coin box. You know, please deposit $5 for an hour's worth of charging. And while you're in there, visit our store or come in and have a cup of coffee. You're stuck here anyway.
This is M4OBQ. I can't find, I got to the point of trying to do the Y1-1. I don't know how to get the dash to move on from there. And I know how to put, you know, to put it in there and leave it on that, but I can't get to the dash. I don't know how to change the keypad over.
Listen, let me clear with KDT, BNG, and I'll, Stace, why don't you give me a minute or two and let me check it out, and I'll get back with you on it. I'm pretty sure I know how to do that, but I'll have to look at the... Maybe it will accept the dash but not move over. Is that what you're saying?
Over, but whenever I hit any button on the keypad, it just gives me whatever that is, like A, B, C, D, and it don't run through the whole course to give me the symbols or any of that kind of stuff, okay?
Like I said, let me clear with the other station here, then I'll get on and I'll check back with you in the meantime, and let me see what they do. KDT, Benji, I'm going to have to run here and help Stacy out with a program issue on his radio. Good talking to you, and have a good evening. N4DJC, clear.
KD2BNG, yeah, no problem. Do something important. I just thought I'd come out here and yak it up with somebody. You go right ahead. 73s, I'll be clear.
Thanks, guys. N4OBQ, I'm just trying to figure out how to program something in, and I can't get it to go over to where I can get to the symbols or to put a dash in, and that's what I need. I've been looking. I guess I'm just not smart enough, so I want to see if Jerry can get it for me. N4OBQ.
N4AIZ radio check, over. For ZYX. Hey, N4AIZ.
What's going on, man? How you doing this afternoon?
Pretty good. I thought that I would recognize you. I was on a Conyers, Georgia frequency repeater, and I heard you say 5x5, so I knew it was you. How's everything going your way?
Best it can be, I guess. Found out daughter's possibly got a torn ACL in her left knee, so softball season's over. But we're leaving Friday morning to go to the final tournament down at the beach. Even though she can't play, she wants to be there for to support the team. Other than that, everything's going good. How y'all doing over there?
Clean it all. Doing pretty good. Got my new antenna up, and I don't know if I still have that static behind me or not, but got a new power supply, and just got everything situated and stuff, so this is pretty much the first conversation I've had since the antenna and the power supply.
Roger that. You're coming in pretty good on my end. There's a little bit of static, but I don't know if that's me or if that's you, because I'm out in the backyard on the walkie-talkie, so it could be on my end, but, you're coming in pretty good on the repeater, and I'm picking you up clear as a bell down here in Spartanburg. Over.
Appreciate it. You sounded good on that HT there. I switched the radio from the car to the house, and I'm running my 9000 in the house now, so just trying to see how it does.
Well, it's good talking to you. I'm going to jump off of here for a few minutes. Probably about to climb up on the roof and mount, but play with this survival antenna I've got. But I'll check in with you a little bit later on. It's good talking to you. This is KO4ZYX. I'll be monitoring.
Copy that. Have a good evening, and we'll talk at you later. KQ4AIZ. Clear.
VQ N4DKC.
N4OBQ.
I don't see it. I see the characters, Danny, but I don't see a character. I see the characters for the numbers, but I don't see a character for a dash or anything else in here on the that I'm looking at, Stacy. I'm not sure if I'm missing something or not.
Like me, I got in there, I went to P4, you know, and it had blank lines. I said wide one, and the thing would jump over to the next spot, but I can't find where to hit the dash yet to put dash one. But even if I don't do that, it'll jump down one space, and I put wide two, and I still can't get to the point to put dash to. So that's got me confused.
Did you move it over on its own and see if it puts the dash in there or not? M4DJC.
I tried that, and it just, it goes on like two spots over. I mean, it don't. And I tried to, where did I go? I put wide one, and it should be dash one. That's for the first one. This is on P4. And then I can't get that in there, and when I hit it again, it goes to Y2, but I can't get to where it says dash for me to put dash to. It's just not happening that way, so that's got me confused, because Y1, then Y2. If I leave it on that, that's no different than what I started with is already fixed on. Over.
I'm looking at something here now where it says interval characters to messages, and it's got all the characters on it and symbols too. But I'm still looking to see what it does. How to do that without looking at it on the radio, it's kind of hard for me to. Have you got a character on it that shows where space is?
On dots, and if you put WIDE1, and every time you do the letters and a number, you hit enter, and it jumps over one, and I can't get to no dash. I can't get to no dash. So that's what's got me confused.
When you get to where the dash ought to be, hit zero.
And I'm thinking I tried that last night. I'll try it. I'm not on the same radio. I'm on a blame boat thing right now. But I'll try that. But I don't think it made any difference. But I'll see.
Okay, I was talking about the AZ. I'm looking at it. I was looking at the Bofang stuff.
That's Yazoo FT1DR. But I have to keep playing with it. And it's all about just getting that extra hop. That's the only thing that I'm thinking of. But it's not real important. I'm doing one hop, and then it goes somewhere else. I just figured I'd try to see if I could get it go one more over.
I'm just looking at it here on the FT1DR. It just says press zero, then zero, then it'll go across. Then you can scroll it across there from to space dash 1% / !? Exclamation point some. But that's for the messages. That doesn't mean it'll work. Maybe it ought to work on the other one too, but I'm not seeing how it works.
I'll try that, and that may do it for me, but if it does work, I will let you know. I appreciate Jerry. I'm going to have to, It's kind of ridiculous outside. I think I might have to go in for a little bit. But I appreciate it, and I'll holler at you later. Info or DJC, info will be you.
It works out for you and get inside. It's too hot to be outside. Done it a few times today. Feels like I'm walking in a frying pan. Talk to you later. M4OVQ, M4DJC, clear.
No, KO4HX. JCD, Jerry, you still there?
Yeah, sure am, Patrick.
Sorry, I butchered your call. My brain's messing up this afternoon. But hey, how you still liking your ID52?
Well, actually, it works good. The battery will last a long time, and the audio is pretty good on it. Are you leaning toward that way, or what are you talking about then?
Well, I'm trying to decide if I want to go that way or the car.
FD5R. The only thing I didn't like about it, Patrick, was the touchscreen. If you can, otherwise, it's a great radio. It's tough. The battery lasts a long time. APRS works good, and it's a whole lot better radio than the FD3R. It's a lot more. The audio's better. As a matter of fact, today I broke down today and bought a FTM200 so I could, get Fusion and also get APRS back on a base rig.
My 991A, it'll do Fusion, but without going through a hotspot, I can't do anything with it.
That'll work Fusion. If you get on Fusion, you can also, based on what Keith was telling me, you can also, if you got a 5-star Zoom spot like I've got, you can also cross mode it to DMR as well.
That was my next question. I've got the SkyBridge, which is a Pi-Star. I see the options to turn on Fusion and D-Star in there, but will I have to go in every time and turn it on or off to go to one or the other?
More about it, I'd say probably, but I don't know. I have seen these Zoom Spot Pi-Stars where people click multiple options for them. I'm not real sure if you have to create I'm not sure how to do it, Patrick. It'd be for somebody more knowledgeable, because I just knew I've had mine on Fusion before with a Fusion radio, and I've had it on D-Star, of course, with D-Star radio. But the thing with D-Star is you can't cross mode D-Star into something else unless you run an open spot or something like that. It won't do otherwise. But now you can do the Fusion to DMR, if I understood Keith correctly yesterday.
Standing, but I've also been watching and reading where Brandmeister's got something that does DMR, Fusion, and D-Star all on the same talk group.
I haven't dug into it that far, but I don't know whether you mentioned it to me or somebody else did, but I think I have. I've either heard somebody else talking about it besides you or read something about that. If it will, may be the case. That sounds like a logical thing to do.
He needs to come up with it, because, I mean, you got basically, five different digital modes that are going out here, if you include P25 and NX. Bridging them all together would make sense somewhere.
If you're going through a hotspot, it certainly does. It doesn't help any, a lot of people have their own repeaters and using repeaters, and it's not going to make any difference. But I also think, too, Patrick, that the FT5DR also, you can get it. I think you can get into Wires X without having to have the. There's another piece of equipment that goes to PC. I think you may have to get into the Wires X range, but I'm not real sure if that's necessary with that 5DR or not. The Fusion thing is a little confusing to me, because I didn't work with it for just a short while. But it sounded good to me, and there was a good bit of activity on it as well.
Have the terminal node controller to get into the Fusion, or the Wires X? I think that's what it is, but I'm not sure, because I don't know a whole lot about it at all.
I'm going to have to dig into it some more. But 5DR is a really good radio. The screen's easy to read. Like I said, it is really tough. It's built tight. It's nothing, you know, the battery locks into it tight. And it does on the 52 as well, but if you're looking for something that's going to work, unless you can buy an open spot, if you're looking for something to do APRS and be able to get into it through to DMR, if you have to use a hotspot, the FT5 is probably the one of the two that would work best for you.
Sticking point is I would like to have the APRS and the ID52 doesn't, but there's features in the ID52 that I like that the 5 doesn't. So it's kind of like, and I'm not buying both of them, and then you got the ID52 quite a bit more money.
It's pretty close to $150 more, I think, maybe more than that now, maybe because I think they were $649 last time I looked at them. But I'd been on the list for one over a year, and I said, well, what the heck, I'm going to go ahead and get it anyway. But it's been a good radio. It's got good audio. The audio on the 5 is really good, too. And it's a lot better. The 3 was not good at all. But the 5, the audio is good on it, on Fusion and on analog, based on comparing the two of them. You know, it's kind of a toss-up, just which features you like. If you like a touchscreen, especially, the 5 is the only way to go. It's just a little, in my case, it's just a little sensitive for me, because you have to be kind of careful where you put your fingers up, because I don't think there's a way to lock it. You know, for instance, if you hit a lock button, I don't think it locked the screen to keep the touchscreen from working. I'm not sure if that's correct or not, Patrick.
What about it?
Yeah, I don't know either. And I knew you had both of them. That's why I was asking you. You got experience with them, so maybe if you had a bunch of information, it might sway me one way or the other.
Well, I like both of them. And like I said, the only thing, of course, I still had DC-74 at that time too, so I had the radio of APRS. That was the radio. But it was a little too delicate and had too many things on it too. It wasn't real confusing to use or anything like that, but it had so much stuff on it. And it was, you know, of course, it's been discontinued now. If anything happens to it, who knows what they charge you to fix it, if they could fix it at all. That's the thing that it kind of, you know, led me to go ahead and sell mine when I did. But I do like APRS, and the 200 does have APRS, even though it's not a true dual. I mean, it's a dual band, but it doesn't have two receivers in it like a 300 or some of these other, like the ICOM do, and it can't cross band and repeat, which is not a big deal for me at all.
Like I said, I was just trying to get some more feedback. But Jerry, I have arrived at the house, so I'm going to say 73s for now. You have a good evening, and good to talk to you, and thank you for the information. KO4 ATX, and I'll be clear.
Sure thing, Patrick. Have a good evening. Talk to you later. N4DJC, clear.
CBA Mobile. 4ZYX. Can I get a radio check on this new antenna? Over. YX, KB4CBA. Sounding good into the repeater.
Pat, thank you, sir. I do appreciate it. Yeah, I threw up the survival antenna on the roof of the house. Wanted to check it out, see how it worked out on the HT. But I do appreciate it. And 73s, this is KO4ZYX. I'll be monitoring.
Listening to your transmission there, it was a little longer. You do have just a teeny bit of white noise, but, no big deal. 100% copy and sounding good.